Praise God. Feels like there's a revival spirit in the church. Amen. Revival spirit. Mark 1 and verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. I want you to remember that last sentence. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Praise God. They followed the call of God. Matthew 19 and verse 16. If you'll turn there with me tonight. Matthew 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? He's going to tell us how to do that. It's what he told the young man. The young man was still in the Old Testament. He said, Keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had great possessions. Two instances here where the call of God came to two different people. Amen. One was Simon, which was the Apostle Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And another was to a rich young ruler, but it does not tell us his name. We don't know who he is. We'll never know who he is or who he was. Amen. Saturday morning I woke up, and the very first words that came to my mind when I woke up is this: Why do you wait when Jesus is calling? Why do you wait when Jesus is calling? Amen. What we do when Jesus calls is so very, very important. That's an old song. I don't know if you know that, but that's part of an old song. Why do you wait when Jesus is calling? He's calling tonight. That's what we're feeling in the Spirit here tonight. That's what we're feeling in the Holy Ghost here tonight, is the call of God. God's reaching out with his hand to call somebody to live for him. He's calling, amen. He's reaching out tonight to touch somebody's life and turn your life around and to give you exactly what you've been looking for in him. Praise God. But it's what you do when he calls. What you do when he calls. Why are you waiting when Jesus is calling? Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for truth. I'm asking you to anoint the Word of God and to speak to our hearts. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And I don't plan to preach a long time because I feel like we just need to pray some more. But there's some things here in the Word of God that are very practical and very common. They play themselves out on a daily basis. The stories that we have read here tonight in the Word of God have literally played themselves out many, many times. It is the desire of the Lord to save men, but it is also the will of God to bless us and to guide us in His way. Because none of us knows the right way to go. None of us has the answer for our life. There are ways that we can manipulate our life and do what we want to do, But I'm telling you tonight, the best way to live your life is to live it in the will of God. Amen. And yet sometimes in God's economy, if you please, the cost seems to be very high. In the end, it really isn't that costly. And yet often in the way of our flesh, in the way of this world, it seems inexpensive and very quick and easy and a quick patch and a quick fix in our life. And it doesn't seem like it's going to cost anything, but in the end, it becomes very costly. Praise the Lord. We've got to approach God with a hunger in our hearts, and we've got to approach God with faith. Amen. A faith that God has the very best in my interest at His heart, that He is not here to destroy men, but He's here to save men. He's not here to lead us into the desert of nothing, amen, but He is here to bless us with eternity with Him, amen, a promised land that flows with milk and honey, amen. The very first story that I read tonight was about a couple of men, two common men who had the call of God on their lives that was an extraordinary call, amen. They were ordinary men, but had an extraordinary call. And when I think of myself, and I think of those of us that are here tonight and others, I think of the very same thing, just common people, common men and women, and yet there is a call upon our lives that's so very extraordinary. These two men did not know it, but they had a call of greatness from the Lord. And here they were doing the thing that they did every day. They were fishermen. And they were fishermen by trade. That was their business. And in another place, the Bible says that they were ignorant and unlearned men by education. Amen. Fishermen by trade, unlearned and ignorant by education. They were not wealthy men. They were just common men. And in fact, in a lot of ways, they were subcommon as far as, as far as their wealth was concerned. They made their living every day by working hard and not really getting a whole lot from their work. No doubt they enjoyed what they did, but it didn't produce very much. I did a little bit of research, and the fishermen at the time of the Lord in Bible times, they were poor peasant workers. It's the way that it described them. Men that went out and labored, and when the day was over with, there was very little to show for what they had done. Amen. Sounds like people that are living in sin. Amen. Sin will cause you to work so hard, and when it's all said and done, there's nothing left over. Well, praise God. Amen. And they were peasant men. They had no status in society. They were of the lower class. There was the lower class, and then there was the upper class in their day and time, and they were in the lower class. The Romans had occupied their country, and the Romans were real good at taxing people. Amen. Sound familiar? And they were good at taxing people. They had to pay taxes on what they caught. They had to buy fishing permits. Yes, they did. They had to have permits to go to certain areas and do their fishing, which cost money. They had to pay taxes or duties upon the transport of their fish that they caught. Amen. And then, of course, there was taxes upon the sale of their fish. And so it would be very easy for them to look at their lives and to say, we're getting nowhere. We're getting nowhere. We're working hard. We're not getting anywhere. We barely make enough to pay the bills and to put some food on the table. Amen. They were all too familiar of figures of their day, And really, as far as society was concerned, they were nothing to speak of. They were nothing to talk about too much. They were just common fishermen, common peasant fishermen. They smelled like fishermen. Their language was that of the fishermen. Their thoughts were on their trade and nothing about greatness, nothing about going up high in this life. They just were fishermen. That's who they were. Well, praise the Lord. And these are the very stories that constantly play out over and over in the lives of people, amen, who simply can see the greatness of the opportunity of a call of God. Amen. The rich, for some reason, don't have the ability, not very often. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wealthy are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. God has called the base things of the world, and the despised things of this world God has called, so that no flesh can glory in His presence. Nobody can say, we did this, but we'll have to say, look what the Lord has done. Well, praise God. Amen. They were the very stories that constantly play out over and over in our day even. Amen. They have no desire for greatness. Amen. But they do have the ability to know a great situation when they see one. Because of their place in society and where they've come from. Amen. I've looked around here tonight, and I'm not here to make anybody feel like I'm putting you down. But we came from nowhere. We came out of obscurity. Amen. We didn't have high positions and places in society, but we're here tonight as a people. Praise God. We're here tonight spiritually as kings and priests with Christ. Amen. Going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years upon this earth. Amen. And these two men were in the same situation. Amen. These men, because of their status, they were those that felt like, you know what, I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Praise God. It's kind of hard sometimes when you got a lot of stuff because you can say, I've got a lot to lose. Amen. But the only thing you've got to lose is your seat in hell, my friend. Praise God. And the thing you've got to gain is your place in heaven. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight that we are in a great place. We have a tremendous opportunity tonight. Amen. And so when this man came along and captivated their attention, and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, there was very little hesitation. Amen. They quickly got their things together. Amen. They unloaded the boat, and they stored the goods away and began to follow Jesus. They were those who were willing to get in a boat and launch out into the deep and fish all night long. They threw caution to the wind, as it were, because of the possibility of a storm that might come up. They were men that were used to taking risks and chances. Amen. And if it didn't work out, it looks like a good situation. Let's go for it. Why should we wait? Amen. The Lord is calling. Why should we continue on the road that we're going when the Lord is calling and He's got a future of greatness? He's got a place of victory for us. Amen. Why should we wait when Jesus is calling? Here's the open door we've been talking about. Amen. That's what the poor talk about is when their ship comes in, what they're going to do with it, and got an idea what they're looking for, amen, and taking that opportunity when it comes along. My friend, the greatest opportunity that you and I have is not that we were born in America, and I thank God that I was born in America. It's not the greatest job that you've ever got that is your greatest opportunity, but the greatest opportunity of our life is when the Lord Jesus Christ came along and said, I want you. Amen. I want you to live for me. I'm calling your name. I'm speaking to your heart. I want you to follow me with all of your mind, with your heart, with your soul, and with your strength. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, throw caution to the wind and give your life to God and serve Him with joy and gladness. No one knows the future, but God knows the future, and the future is bright in Him. Praise God. There was an abandon that came over them. Amen. There was an abandon that came over them, and they just cried out from their heart, yes. Yes, I'll serve Him. Yes, I'll follow Him. Why should we wait? The time is now. He may not pass by this way again. Amen. Heaven is passing by. God Almighty is passing by, even though they did not know that at the time. Amen. But they felt and they sense. Amen. These wise men laid aside their lives and their ambitions and gave it all to the Lord. What a great result that came out of their lives. What a great influence they had in the rest of their life. Before that, they were just common men, common fishermen. But after that, God did a wonderful work in their life. And I don't care who it is here tonight, but God wants to do a wonderful work in your life. Well, praise God. He has not called us to defeat. He has not called us to destruction. He has not called us to having nothing. Amen. But He wants to fill us with the treasures of heaven. Jesus is calling. Everything else is secondary. Amen. Then there's another story here tonight. Another story that's all too common. And it's the story of a very successful person. This young man in Matthew chapter 19. And he had a desire. His business had done well. The Bible doesn't even tell us who or what he did for his business. We know that the other two were fishermen, but as far as this young man is concerned, we don't know what he did for a living, but we do know that things went well for him. And maybe he got a lot of inheritance from his parents. That really doesn't mean a whole lot because you can spend that all away very quickly. He obviously saw what he had, and he began to deal with it. He began to buy and sell and trade, or he invested in this and that or the other. And wise people will do that. Amen. They will invest. And you need to think of those things as you go through life because investments can be very profitable to you and they can bless you down the road. Amen. You're not going to stay young forever. And it's not always going to be a footloose and free situation. Amen. We need to lay up for the future and lay up for the day when you're not able to work and all of that. Well, that went over real well. But one day you'll say, thank God for the pastor preaching that, if you are not just a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. Well, praise God. Start today and do some investing in your life and do some wise investing, and you'll be surprised at the results that can come out of that. Amen. This young man understood that in the day of Jesus or in Bible times, even further back into the Old Testament, they would get coppers and they would get silver. And maybe if they were very fortunate, they could get gold. And they could take that to the exchangers. And at that time, a good 6% interest on their investment with the money changers, or the banker, if you please. In 7 years, at a 6% rate, or is it 10 years? I think it's 10 years at a 6% rate, you will double what you invest. Amen. Just at that particular interest rate. And that's the way it was back then. I got a feeling that he had a plethora of investments, and he knew what it was like to put his money into something and wait for the right moment, invest his money, and then for that to blossom. And in one day, to gain an awful lot. He understood the thrill of that. He knew what it was like. And in fact, he was not only wealthy, but he was a ruler. He was a man of authority. Amen. He understood what it was like for him to plant his crops and then for the rains to come just at the right time. And to see those crops come up and to look across his field and to have the feeling the day's coming and not very soon, not very far away rather, that I'm going to have a harvest here. And he probably sat down and figured it out, and he understood the thrill. He understood the excitement of a harvest that was coming. And you're never going to have a harvest. You're never going to have a spiritual harvest until you invest. And you're never going to have a monetary harvest unless you invest. Amen. Unless you sow. And when you sow, you shall reap, the Bible says. And yet there was probably something in this young man when he came to a place of prominence in his life, as it is with some, he looked at others who had less and probably looked at them and said, you know, if they would just do things the way I do them, then they wouldn't be in their situation. There was a sense of pride that he had. Amen. He was in the upper class, and others were in the lower class. When the fisherman would walk past him, he would shake his head and think, my Lord, why would anybody want to work in that trade and smell like that? Why would anybody, probably as they maybe stuck their hand out to shake his hand, and he looked down and saw the residue of fish on his hands, and probably thought, I don't really want to shake that hand because this is a fisherman, this is a peasant. And he loved his nice home. Thank God for a nice home. Amen. We're so blessed. We really are. And it's the will of God that we enjoy these things. He loved the comfort of his home. He loved the scented soap for his flesh. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we're so blessed. All we've got to do is go to Walmart, and we can smell like about anything we want to smell like. Praise God. Just depending on the day and how you feel, you can smell like that. Amen. And he had that. In his home were probably spices that gave out a sweet smell in his home. Amen. He enjoyed a drink from one of his servants as he told them what he desired, and they brought it exactly what he wanted. And yet there was something. We know this from what we read in the scripture tonight, that even though he had all of these things, all of the things that everybody desires and wants in life, there was a knowledge that he had of emptiness. It was a nagging feeling on the inside that something's missing in my life. He had experienced many things. He had experienced the feeling that came when things went well, and he had much more than he would ever need. Amen. In his faithfulness to invest, in his faithfulness to the house of God, he was blessed. He adhered to the commandments. He, of course, we don't know if he kept all of the commandments, because Jesus did not elaborate on all of the commandments. I've got a feeling that he just spoke the commandments that this young man was doing really good. Jesus being the eternal soul winner, amen, was going to get him into his camp. And because this young man had a great call upon his life, there was something that the Lord saw in him that said he could be very useful in the kingdom of God. He could do some wonderful, wonderful things in the kingdom of God. And so I think he just named a few of the commandments that he did really well. And the young man almost bursted with pride as he said, I've kept all of these from my youth. I've done all of these things. I'm a good performer. I can obey the commandments of God. I see the importance of the commandments of God, and I've done them. But even as he spoke this, there was a nagging feeling on the inside, amen, of that there is something missing in my life. And that's why he said, I've done this from my youth. What do I lack yet? What am I lacking? What do I need? Amen. I've got it all, but something inside of me. Amen. There's a voice crying out from the inside of me for more. Amen. I don't know what it is. And he didn't understand that it was the call, the voice of his soul that was crying out and saying, I need God. Feed me. I need God. Amen. And he tried to feed it with the best of food. He tried to feed it with worldly accomplishments. Amen. He tried to do it with all of those things. But there was still that voice from the inside that was saying, there's something missing. There's something missing in your life. Give me God. I need God in my life. And Jesus came along and he felt compelled to ask him how heaven could be gained, not realizing that he was going to get more than just heaven. He was going to get a call of God. He was going to get an answer from the Lord that said, here's my eternal plan for your life. Here's my plan for your future. And it's so much greater than you could ever dream of. It's so much better than all of the things that you've amassed up to this point. Amen. And as it was with the two that we just talked about, this story plays out all the time with people, amen, who meet Jesus for the first time, amen. And to those that are wandering through life and looking for happiness, looking for the truth, amen, that when they find it, they're either going to see it as a great opportunity or they're going to see it as a thing that is too costly and I'm not really willing to go that far with the Lord. If somebody could have grabbed a hold of this young man and said, son, why are you waiting? Jesus is calling. Why are you holding back? Why are you making your excuses? Why are you waiting? Jesus is calling. And I feel it tonight. I feel that in this service here tonight. That Jesus is calling someone. He's here in this house. And he's reaching out to someone and saying, throw everything aside. I've got a plan for your life. I've got something greater than you could ever imagine if you'll just say yes to me and just turn it over to me. And it plays out over and over, and it has, and it does, and it is playing out in the lives of people. Amen. And this phrase, why should I wait? It had no hold on his mind or his spirit. Really, when it came down to it, can I preach just a little bit here tonight? When it came down to it, the only thing that he thought of was himself. I've got a feeling this young man was probably married and had children. He never said, how can my mom and my dad find God? How can my neighbors and my friends, what is it, Lord, that I can do to help them? What about my wife and my children and those that I love around me. What can I do to help them to be saved? The only thing he was thinking about was himself. The only question that he had was, Lord, how can I go to heaven? How can I have eternal life? And then when the answer came, I've done all these from my youth up. What lack I yet? It was all about himself. Amen. And that's why he was where he was at in society, because his whole desire was to climb the ladder and to get as high as he could get. And we see that. And I believe the call for greatness was missed. Oh, how sad. It was missed for a full bank account. It was missed for crops that were coming. Amen. It was missed for a heart that was full of pride of his accomplishments and the things that he had done. And ultimately, he turned and walked away sorrowful. He walked away sorrowful. Oh, I wished I could have got what I wanted, but I didn't get what I wanted. Amen. I don't know if he was sorrowful enough that he wept tears. I don't know. But I know that he was sorrowful, but it was not godly sorrow, because the Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance. Amen. Godly sorrow will make you turn your life around to God and go in that direction. But the Bible says that the sorrow of the world works death. It is a sorrow. Oh, I'm just so sorry. I would love to live for God, but I want to do it on my terms. I want to do it in my way, with my plan, and all of that. But friend, I'm telling you tonight, we don't have that opportunity with God. We don't have the opportunity to say, God, this is what I want to do. Amen. James said, if we say, I'm going to this town tomorrow, and I'm going to buy and sell and get gain, he said, all such talk is sin. He said, what we need to do is say, if the Lord will, we're going to go to this city. If the Lord will, we're going to get gain, because ultimately it all comes down to the will of God. And that's how we can make it if things don't work out. Amen, because it wasn't the will of God. It wasn't in God's plan, and I can handle that. Amen, as long as I know his hand is leading me and guiding me. He can take me through the valley of the shadow of death. He can take me by the still waters. He can take me by the green pastures. It really doesn't matter. He can lead me through the wilderness, but I know this, there's going to be a rock that follows me. There's going to be manna coming down from heaven, and everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right if I've got God in my life. Anybody feel this here tonight? I feel this. Amen. I remember my pastor talking about when he felt the call of God in his life. And if I can just take a few moments, and then we're going to finish here tonight. But he was just a young man in high school. And he did not like the church. He was raised, his mother was a very godly woman. She saw many miracles in her life, and she walked with God. I remember Sister Morgan very clearly, and I always, always had such a high respect for her. And she raised these children without a father in the home, and they didn't have anything. He remembers the day that they brought the poles and the wires down the street, and they ran a wire to every home, and they put a light bulb in their house. He remembered that day that they brought light bulbs into the house, and they were able to have that. That's how poor they were. He knows what it means to have a tar paper shack, and because there were some of those in the home, or not the home, but the town in which they lived. And they went to a One God Apostolic Church, and it was a small church, and he didn't want to go. He wanted to play basketball. He loved basketball. And even though God had worked many miracles in his life, he remembered, and he told us the story of the time that he broke his arm. And the doctor put it in the cast, and you could, I guess, do this back in those days. You'd never get away with it in our generation today. But he broke his arm. The doctor put the arm in the cast, and they went to church. And the mother, Sister Morgan, took him up to the front and told the pastor, said, "We need to pray for Denver. He's broken his arm. We need God to heal him." And so they prayed for him, and she said, "All right, God's healed him. Take the cast off." And they took the cast off, and his arm was healed. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You did what? You took the cast off." He examined my pastor, Brother Stanford, and he said, "Lift your hand like this." And he lifted his hand like that, and he said, "You can't do that." He said, "Turn your hand this way." He turned his hand that way. He said, "You can't do that." They took x-rays. His arm was completely healed by God, and he knew that. He had, at one point, he had double dust pneumonia is what they called it back in those days. And it was so severe in his life that it left scars on his lungs. And the doctor said it would permanently stop him from any kind of athletic activity. And so she brought him up to the altar and said, "We need to pray for Denver. He's got this problem." And they prayed for him, and God healed him, and he became one of the best basketball players in the high school. But God was calling him, and one night when God was calling him, he came and he said there was an organ, and no one was playing the organ, and he went behind the organ and kneeled down because he was very bashful and very timid and didn't want to be around people and all of that. And he closed his eyes and began to pray, and he wanted God, but he didn't want God at the same time. And all of a sudden, when he closed his eyes, a vision took place. And he said it was like pictures on a screen, and they began to move in front of him. Pictures of people from other countries, pictures of people from America, some with a turban on their heads, and they all began to pass in front of him. And he quickly opened his eyes, and the vision stopped. And he thought, "Well, that's all of that." And he closed his eyes and began to pray again. And he said it picked up right where it left off, and the people began to go in front of his face again. God was calling him. The Lord was calling him. And in his particular situation, he had to get to the place where he gave up a college scholarship for playing basketball. It was in 1957. They were going to give him a brand new car. They were going to give him room and board if he would just play basketball for their college. And he got to the place where Jesus was calling in his life. And he said no to everything else in the world. And I'm telling you, God began to use that man. And miracles, many, many miracles. Amen. Sister Worth, she knows about some of those in our church where we were raised up in the Lord. We saw so many miracles and great things that were taking place. And it all hinged upon a young man that would say yes to the call of God. Why wait when Jesus is calling? Why put it off? What are you waiting for? Jesus is calling. Give your life to him. Turn your whole life and your heart over to him. Praise God. I read in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to finish with this tonight. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. Jesus had just was about to ascend into heaven. And it says this, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.' Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas, the brother of James. Here they are, those two common fishermen. And they saw that lone figure on the beach that said, "Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they forsook their nets. Oh, the things that they had gone through, but the glorious things that they had seen. And the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. From a fisherman to a preacher. From a sinner to a preacher's wife. From a nobody to a somebody. From someone with no future but a bad past, a great future, and a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And all I need to say tonight is, why wait when Jesus is calling? Can we stand together tonight? Can we stand together quickly? We're not going to take a lot of time here tonight, because I've got a feeling that the Lord was walking by, and had they hesitated and waited, He would have been way down the beach somewhere, making a turn and going off in another direction. Listen tonight. God knows exactly what every one of us needs. It's not the same for all, but there is a call of God in this place tonight. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in the atmosphere that's in this place tonight. Amen. We have felt the presence of God. God's in this place. And we have come to the altar and we have prayed. But sometimes when the Lord moves and we come to the altar and we pray, we almost get the feeling that we're just coming to the altar, we're going to break through and speak in tongues a little bit, and then that's all there is to it. And maybe that's the way it is sometimes, but I'm telling you tonight that that's not the way it is here tonight. There's a call of God. There's a call of God in this place. And God is trying to speak to somebody's heart to say, live for me. Come and follow me. Amen. The same words that Jesus used for Peter and his brother, Andrew, was the same words that he used for that rich young ruler. I've got a feeling tonight, I've got a feeling that that rich young ruler had a call to be one of the 12 apostles. I've got a feeling. I've just felt that for a long, long time, that he had a call to be one of the 12 apostles. But I can see him with his head down and his shoulders down. How could I do that? How could I go that far? Well, if I go that far, how am I going to feed my family? Well, if I go that far, what about this? What about that? What about the other? And thinking it over, and then in a moment's time, say, I can't do it. I can't go that far. I can't give that much. I can't make that kind of sacrifice. I'm willing to go, but at my convenience, and when it's an opportune time, I'll do it. No, Jesus passed by, and the opportunity passed by with him. It does not record in the scriptures that he ever had another opportunity. It does not record. It doesn't record it. There's another place where the Apostle Paul was speaking to the king, witnessing to him, talking to him about God. And the Bible says he trembled. And he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You've almost got me convinced." But you know, If I do that, I'm going to lose my political position. If I do that, my family may turn against me. Everybody's going to think I'm crazy. I see it. I know that it's real. I know that it's true. But I just don't know if I can go that far. I'm here tonight to just plead with somebody. Several somebody's here tonight. I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. Why are you waiting? Jesus is calling. Just come right now. Just come right now. You're not going to see the fulfillment of the call of God, but it's a start. Take your nets and put them in the boat. Store it away. Oh, yes. If he lets you go fishing again, that's fine. If not, that's fine. But I'm going to stow away all my things. I'm going to abandon everything right now. And I'm going to say yes to God, yes to the will of God, yes to his plan and purpose for my life. I'm not going to fool around with this. It's too important. I'm not going to wait a few days. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to say, well, let me count the cost. And even though the scripture does tell us to count the cost is heaven or hell, Jesus or no Jesus. And I'm here to say tonight, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Why don't you just pray? And just pour your heart out to God. Why should I wait when Jesus is calling? Why should I wait? Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. Right now. Right now is the time to give my life to God and serve God. Come on, let's pray. Come on, church. Come on, the Lord's been calling somebody here in this service tonight. The Lord's been speaking to somebody's heart tonight. Oh, yes, he's been calling your name. That emptiness on the inside, you've been feeling it. You've been feeling it. He just wants you to say yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I give my life to you, God. I give my life to you, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God, my God. This is so important. This is so important. I need Jesus in my life. I need the Lord. I need God's help. I need God's direction.